granted. That's number two with the text of the hadith. Now number three, let me look at the hadith historically. That is very important. Point number one, historically. And I want to go through the names of every single person I've mentioned, so that no one can come back to me later on and say, you never mentioned him or you never mentioned him. Every person I mentioned, I want to go through his history in this area. Point number one, Surah 24 of the Quran is where this incident is, isn't it? إِنَّ الَّذِينَ جَاءُوا بِالْإِفْكِ عَصْبَةٌ مِّنْكُمْ. That's in Surah 24. Surah 24 of the Quran, everybody knows it was revealed in the 8th year after Hijrah. When was this verse revealed? According to Aisha, when did this incident happen? 6th year after Hijrah. But Surah 24 was revealed in the 8th year after Hijrah. That's number one. Number two, they say Rasulullah had made an announcement about this incident on his minbar. Yes? You've seen the minbar of Rasulullah in Medina? There's the minbar. You know that place where they say the best place to pray? Between my minbar, my grave, that area, the rawda? That minbar of Rasulullah. That minbar, he made an announcement about the ifk from that minbar. But the minbar came in 8 AH. The ifk happened when, according to Aisha? 6 AH. If the Prophet stood on his minbar in Masjid al-Nabawi, the minbar was there in 8 AH. So now we have Surah Nur, Surah 24, was in 8 AH. The minbar, when? 8 AH. Number three, who did the Prophet consult? Usama bin Zayd. Which year did Aisha say the Prophet consulted Usama? Now the powerful historians amongst you would have done your math straight away. Usama, in the 6th year after Hijrah, is how old? 13 or 12. How do we know this? 5 years later, he's the 18-year-old who the older Sahaba said, we're not going to join. Can I ask you what the Prophet's doing consulting a 12-year-old on an issue of adultery? Why consult Usama? And if Usama was so famous that the Prophet consulted him on an issue of adultery, then why did persons X, Y, and Z not want to join him as a leader later? If you said to Rasulullah, Ya Rasulullah, Usama is way too young as an 18-year-old. He certainly wasn't young when he came to give an adjudication about Aisha and adultery. True? He went to Usama. Osama's 12, 13 maximum. So you go to a 12-year-old in the biggest event in the whole of the society. You go to a what? 12, 13-year-old and ask him? Let me go even further. There's even further than this. Even further than this is that they say that Sa'd ibn Mu'adh was the person who from the Aus said, if the accusers are from the Aus, we'll punish them. Any good historian will tell you, Sa'd ibn Mu'adh had died way before this incident. He's not even there. There's no Sa'd ibn Mu'adh in Arabia on the 6th day after Hijrah. Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, all of you have heard the story, you know, that big grave, the massive janazah that he had, and everyone was proud of him, and then Rasulullah said, if you knew how he treated his family, he had died before. When you're saying a story that Sa'd ibn Mu'adh said, if we find, Sa'd ibn Mu'adh had died. So when you're putting Sa'd ibn Mu'adh in the middle of the story, why? He's already passed away. Further than this, not just Sa'd ibn Mu'adh. Let's go to Aisha's servant. Aisha's servant, what was her name? Burayra, yes? So Ali ibn Abi Talib has gone to this servant. He's beaten her and beaten her until a confession comes out from her. My dear brother in Islam, Burayra began to work for Aisha in the 8th year after Hijrah. This incident is when? 6 after Hijrah. If Ali ibn Abi Talib beat her, then what? Ali ibn Abi Talib is beating her from a time machine? As in Ali ibn Abi Talib is what? What do you see Ali ibn Abi Talib as? Ali ibn Abi Talib is meant to have beaten the servant of Aisha. Go in the books of history. Burayra worked as a servant in the house of Aisha when? 8th year after Hijrah. Let's even go a step further. Hassan ibn Thabit was of the accusers, but later on is absolved of accusing. Not only is he absolved, this is political, by the way. These next two names are political. Hassan ibn Thabit and who? Usayd ibn Hudayr. Remember I mentioned them earlier? And Sa'd ibn Ubadah. This is where the whole discussion becomes political on this hadith. This is where the whole discussion becomes an attack on Ali ibn Abi Talib. Why? You know the names you choose? You pick names according to lovers of Ali and haters of Ali, isn't it? They say Hassan bin Thabit. I reply by saying, when Hassan bin Thabit was absolved of the accusation of Aisha's zina, he's the one, loud name, that she says, Hassan bin Thabit, when he was absolved, they say Rasulullah, as part of the gift for him being absolved, Rasulullah gave him Sirin, the sister of Mary the Coptic. This incident took place in which year after Hijrah? 6. Sirin and Mary the Coptic came into the life of Rasulullah, 7 AH. But why is Hassan bin Thabit absolved? And why is Usayd bin Hudayr calling Sa'd bin Ubadah munafiq, munafiq? All of the three depends on their allegiance to Ali ibn Abi Talib. Hassan bin Thabit, enemy of Ali ibn Abi Talib, fierce enemy of Ali ibn Abi Talib. Usayd bin Hudayr, one of those who attacked the house of Fatima al-Zahra. Sa'd bin Ubadah, lover of Ali and Fatima. So how do you present it? Look how clever the presentation is. The presentation is clever. Sa'd bin Mu'adh, who's dead, says, I will find the killer and the Aus will punish him if he's an Ausi. Then Sa'd bin Ubadah says, you're a liar, you will not do that. Then Usayd bin Hudayr looks at him and says, you're a munafiq. Because then when you look later in history, you find Usayd bin Hudayr anti-Ali ibn Abi Talib. Sa'd bin Ubadah pro-Ali ibn Abi Talib. So you shape the story where the person is attributed as being a munafiq even from those days. So that any lover of Ali ibn Abi Talib, the word nifaq is associated with him straight away. In other words, what do you have? If you examine what? If you examine the isnad, and you examine the text, and you examine the history, you will find that very clearly there was no such incident taking place in the 6th year after Hijrah. Be it because Surah An-Nur is 8 AH, be it the member of the Prophet, be it Sa'd bin Mu'adh has already passed away, be it for example Burayra wasn't even the service of Aisha, you find that the story is full of contradiction. So therefore, what's the story? Story is the accusation of Aisha against Mary the Coptic. How do you turn history? How do you turn history? You know that you made a major accusation. So you turn it so that it was against you. I do not analyze a person in Islamic history because of what I have as presupposed beliefs. I've shown all the proofs one by one. Mary the Coptic. You see, Aisha's mother, Umm Rahman, you know, she said, I went back to my mom, Umm Rahman. She was in the house of Abu Bakr. Just to add to you, Umm Rahman had passed away years earlier. Do you know who they accused of being the ones who accused Aisha? They said, Abdullah ibn Jahash, Ubaydullah ibn Jahash. They said, these two, and Zayd ibn Rafa'ah. These three names. Listen to these three names. Abdullah ibn Jahash. Ubaydullah ibn Jahash, Zayd ibn Rafa'ah. Abdullah ibn Jahash died at the Battle of Uhud. Battle of Uhud, 3 AH. This incident, which AH? 6. Let's move this guy out. Ubaydullah ibn Jahash, he was living in Africa. He's the one who was married to Abu Sufyan's daughter, remember? And he married a Christian girl afterwards. He's got nothing to do with Medina at this time. X, remove him out of the picture. Zayd ibn Rafa'ah, he's passed away by this time. Remove him out of the picture. The whole thing is a myth. So what exactly happened? In 8 AH, in 8 AH, only two wives of Rasulullah gave him children. How many? Khadija and Mary the Coptic. Mary the Coptic originally was an Egyptian Copt Christian.
The Muqawqis gave her and her sister as presents in honor of Rasulullah. On her way to Rasulullah, she had become a Muslim. She married the Prophet. And when she married the Prophet, all the other wives, see, Aisha's mom supposedly, even though she was dead at the time, but let's say supposedly, says to her, all the other ladies are jealous of you, my daughter. No, the jealousy was elsewhere. And any historian in Islam will know that Aisha's jealousy was there against every wife of Rasulullah. Anyone. So what happened? What happened was, Mary the Coptic gave birth to Rasulullah's only other child. What was his name? Ibrahim. Rasulullah is holding the baby. And if you want, go and read Ibn Hajar's discussion on this area. Bukhari calls her, the lady who Aisha accuses of adultery, Bukhari calls her Umm Walad. Umm Walad is referring to Mary the Coptic. But Bukhari doesn't say Mary the Coptic, it says Umm Walad. The Prophet's holding his baby Ibrahim. Tells Aisha, look at this beautiful baby. She says to him, no. He says, but don't you see this baby and the beauty of the skin and the flesh and the cheek? No. This is the son of Jurayh. Do anything in life, but never, ever accuse the Holy Prophet of not knowing who his kids are. I ask everyone, go and read Aisha's jealousy of Mary the Coptic. Go and read it. As in, don't let your theology destroy your rationality. Read. Aisha said, that's the son of Jurayh. That's when he told Ali ibn Abi Talib, go and find this Jurayh. Why is the hatred against Ali? Because Ali accused Aisha of adultery? Because he exposed her when she insulted Rasulullah. But in the books of history, they say the battle of Jamal happened because Aisha was still angry when Ali accused her of adultery. No way! Ali ibn Abi Talib doesn't lower himself to this caliber. Ali ibn Abi Talib is far above all these names we bring. It's only this history which brings people together. Otherwise, what are you talking about? You bring anyone near Ali ibn Abi Talib? Have respect for yourself. Philosophy, science, economics, politics, and one human being. You have respect for yourself. Ali ibn Abi Talib went to check on this Jurayh. Someone asks, why did Rasulullah tell Imam Ali to check? Why doesn't Rasulullah know already? Rasulullah tells Imam Ali to check according to our 60 Imam. 60 Imam was asked, why did Rasulullah not check for himself? He said, he told Aisha, oh Aisha, I'm going to send Ali. Are you going to withdraw your statement? I'm giving you a chance to withdraw. Nope. Son of Jurayh. Ali went to check. When Ali went to check, he found this Jurayh. This Jurayh saw Ali ibn Abi Talib coming with a sword. It's not the best sight in the world, seeing Ali ibn Abi Talib with a sword. This Jurayh, out of his fear, he's run down. One narration says that he's tried to run away on a palm tree. Ali ibn Abi Talib told him, listen, come down. Doesn't want to kill the guy, but he wants to find him, so he brings him for this case. This person's come down, but out of his fear, unfortunately, some of the clothing's fallen. Ali ibn Abi Talib straight away realized, when the clothing has fallen, that this person is not someone who's going to have a child. Clearly, this was of the people who was not of those who can have a child. He went back to Rasulullah. When he went back, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had revealed that there is no such thing as this accusation of this slanderous lie.
Whose lie? Aisha's slanderous attack. Not just Aisha. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ جَاءُوا بِالْإِفْكِ عُصْبَةٌ. عُصْبَة means what? عُصْبَة means more than, let's say for example, 10 to 40 people.
That means what? The Quran said, النَّاس. The hadith says what? The hadith say, النَّاس. The whole community started saying, did you hear? Did you hear? Did you hear? The Chinese whispers which destroy all communities, isn't it?
And even Allah says, go tonight, read Surah 24, verse 11 to 31. Allah says, if it wasn't for our mercy, you people would be punished. That you hear a slanderous rumor about the Holy Prophet like this and all of you discuss it. And honestly, I don't want to bring the names of those who discussed it. Who straight away believed, this is the baby of Jurayh. Do you know how much it hurt Rasulullah for someone to say that? That this is Jurayh's baby, not yours? Did Rasulullah apply the punishment? This is a vital area. Firstly, those who say, if it was Aisha and the others, why didn't Rasulullah apply the punishment? Number one, if according to Aisha's story, it was Abdullah ibn Ubay who accused, I ask you, why didn't you apply the punishment on Abdullah ibn Ubay? If you're saying to me, why didn't he apply punishment to Aisha? In Aisha's story, did Rasulullah apply punishment on Abdullah ibn Ubay? No, he didn't. Secondly, there are certain political situations in which theologically Rasulullah can waive a punishment depending on the political situation. Khalid ibn al-Walid with Banu Juthaymah, when he massacred them, Rasulullah did not punish him on this because of the political context. Abdullah ibn Ubay, how many years we knew he's a munafiq, yet Rasulullah still did not punish him with the punishment. And the laws of adultery had only just been revealed with this incident in context. But still there's a key legal point here, that the Prophet of God, there are certain legal areas which can be waived depending on the political context of the time. And this is a vital area which they were involved in. In other words, what did you find? This particular incident was about the slander on Mary the Coptic and the attack on Ibrahim, the baby of Rasulullah. And that's why I tell you, the sadness of all sadness is that until today, whenever people write the books of history, do you know what they say? They write down the books of history, they say, Aisha fought Ali. Because Aisha was still angry that Ali was the one who told Rasulullah divorce her. You're angry that Ali told Rasulullah to divorce you? The Quran had already told Allah to divorce you. Surah 66, verse 5. Divorce Aisha and Hafsa. I'll give you better wives than them. Why are you angry with Ali ibn Abi Talib? Why don't you be angry with the Lord of Ali ibn Abi Talib who said you should divorce you? And that's why I remember you find Ibn Hajar within Fath al-Bari. He narrates, in the time of Hisham bin Abdul Malik, one of the companions of Hisham bin Abdul Malik, Sulaiman bin Yasar, he says, I went to Hisham bin Abdul Malik. He asked me, what do the people say about the incident of the ifk? And the reply is, he said, the people say the incident of the ifk was the accusation of Abdullah bin Ubay. Hisham bin Abdul Malik said, no, it's the accusation that Ali ibn Abi Talib made. Sulaiman said that, you know what, I'm not going to argue with this. Move on. Zuhri says that when Hisham bin Abdul Malik asked me, who was the one who made that ifk accusation? He says, at this moment I thought to myself, what shall I say? If I say it's Ali ibn Abi Talib, that's a crime in itself. If I don't say Ali ibn Abi Talib, there'll be a punishment there. He said, I said it was not Ali ibn Abi Talib. He said, no, you're wrong. He said, no, it was others. It was not Ali ibn Abi Talib. In other words, for years, the man who was blamed for the ifk incident was Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen. For years. And that they said Allah absolved Aisha and tried to make fun of Ali ibn Abi Talib, saying, look, you got the whole issue wrong. Whereas within our literature, and even in Sunni literature, it is clear that Aisha's accusation that this is the son of Jurayh is a clear accusation. And it's the worst accusation for any mother. Why? Because that baby in the life of the mother, that's her pride and joy at the end of the day. As in that lady, it sees that baby is the pride, it's her heart outside of her body, isn't it? As in a mother, what does she see a baby as? She's carried that baby for 9 months. When she's carried that baby for 9 months, she sheltered the baby, looked after the baby. It's hard for a mother to hear accusations that this baby is not yours. You find how difficult must it have been for Bibi Maryam when they were accusing her that we didn't know that you're this type of woman. You think it was easy for Bibi Maryam when she gives birth? Likewise, it wasn't easy for her namesake, Mary the Coptic. Because you don't want anyone making such an accusation. Not only does it affect you, it affects your baby's life. You feel for your baby that people think that this baby is not important to you, that this baby can easily be slandered. That's why imagine even how hard it was for Fatima al-Zahra when she was carrying her child and she miscarries her child. How difficult is it for any mother? Because automatically there's a relationship that begins with that mother. That mother feels that that child will grow, that child will blossom, that child will find happiness and success in their life. It's devastating when a mother finds out that she's miscarried her child. That there's no doubt. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that that child will be raised as a martyr on the day of judgment. That there is no doubt of. Likewise, it's difficult for a mother to see people slandering her baby's origin. But what's more difficult than a mother seeing her baby die in front of her in the flesh? What's more difficult than a mother seeing an arrow pierce the neck of her baby? May Allah give patience to Rabab, the wife of Imam al-Hussein, on the 10th of Muharram, when she came forward with her baby. When she came forward, she gave the baby to Sayyida Zainab alayhi salam. Do you know why she gave the baby to Sayyida Zainab? She didn't have it in her to take the baby to Aba Abdullah. She never wanted to trouble Aba Abdullah, but she told Sayyida Zainab, she said a beautiful line. She said to her, Zainab, I used to hear the baby moan. I don't even hear a moan anymore. The thirst of Karbala is killing my baby. Imagine, me and you are able to contain our thirst. But this is a baby. How is the baby meant to contain their thirst? And she had no milk to provide for her baby. So she gave the baby towards Sayyida Zainab alayhi salam. When she gave the baby towards Sayyida Zainab alayhi salam, what do the narrations mention to us? That Sayyida Zainab alayhi salam had taken that baby. She looked at the baby and truly she was not hearing any more tears even from the baby. This baby had nothing to give back now. This baby had no energy whatsoever. So Sayyida Zainab took the baby to whom? She took the baby to Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. She came to him, she said, Aba Abdullah, Rabab says her baby has no water left. Rabab says there is no milk left whatsoever, ya Aba Abdullah. Aba Abdullah, if you can you go and ask the opposition, at least let them give some water. That's why the narrations mention that Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, what did he do? Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam took the 6-month-old baby as I'm taking this baby now. Even when I take this baby now with me, if you look at this baby and as I take this baby now with me, this baby here in front of me, if you look at this baby, how tender this baby is. And how tender the baby is and how difficult it is for Abi Abdullah. And the heart that Imam al-Hussein had. He had given all of his sons, his daughters. And this was his son. He came out towards the opposition. When he came out towards the opposition, he called out, O army of Umar bin Sa'd, if you want to kill me, kill me. You don't want me to drink water, I won't drink. But I beg you, give the baby some water. Again, there was nothing from them. Some of them were saying, give water. Others were saying, no way. Then you know what he did? He took this baby. When he took the baby, then placed the baby on the earth of Karbala. He put the baby there and he left. He said, O army of Umar bin Sa'd, I beg you, if you're not going to give me anything, I'll leave the baby there. I will not fight any of you. But O army of Umar bin Sa'd, someone come and give the baby some water. Again, there was no reply. He came out again on the battlefield in Karbala. He took the baby, he returned. He then called out one final time, O army of Umar bin Sa'd. You know who narrates this the best? Mukhtar al-Thaqafi. Mukhtar al-Thaqafi narrates, years after Karbala, I caught Harmala bin Kahil. When I caught Harmala bin Kahil, I said to him, Harmala, what happened? Every mother here, all of you know the feeling. Every father who has a baby. He said to him, O Harmala, how many arrows did you shoot on the 10th of Muharram? from. He said to him that I shot 4 arrows. He said to him, tell me about each of the arrows that you shot on the 10th of Muharram. Listen to the reply. He said to him, the first arrow I shot was on the right eye of Abu Fadl al-Abbas when he was on his horse. Abu Fadl al-Abbas was on his horse on the 10th of Muharram. He had lost his right hand, he had lost his left hand. When he lost the both of them, he was trying to hold the alam. Harmala said, Umar bin Sa'ad said to me, what are you waiting for? Take out his eye. I shot him direct in the eye. He said, normally when someone falls, they fall with their hands in front of them. Whereas Abbas fell directly down. He then said to him, oh Harmala, how about the second arrow? He said, the second arrow I shot was on the nephew of Hussein. His name was Abdullah, the son of Hassan. Hussein was on the ground, arrows surrounding his body. Umar bin Sa'ad said to me, shoot him, shoot him. He said, I was about to shoot. Then this young boy ran out of the tent. He called out, how dare you shoot my uncle and no one protects him. He said the young boy sat by his uncle. I then shot the young boy directly on him and I killed him. Then he said, how about the third arrow? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. He said to him, the third arrow is the one that hurts me the most. He said, what do you mean? He said, the third arrow I shot on the 6-month-old baby of Abu Abdullah. He said, Umar bin Sa'ad said to me that I want you to get an arrow which you cut the neck of a camel with. Get that arrow. I want you to strike it. He said, so I saw Hussein wanting water. Brothers and sisters, look at this baby. Look how tender the baby is. Imagine Abu Abdullah is holding the baby. Then do you know what the narration says? He says, I got the arrow ready. I shot the baby. He said to him, what did you see? He said, I saw the baby flap its hands like a bird flaps its wings. The baby flaps its hands like the bird flaps its wings. He said to him, how about the fourth arrow? He said, the fourth arrow I shot on the chest of Imam al-Hussein. When he shot the baby, the narrations mention that Imam al-Hussein walked back with the baby. He saw the blood in his hands. He walked to the tent. He came back. He walked with the tent. He came back. He done this 7 times. He would say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. They said to him, Hussein, what's wrong with you? He replied with the touching words, I don't know how to tell our mother that her baby's neck is pierced. Brothers and sisters, on the night of the 11th of Muharram, Sayyida Zainab was in her tent. She was looking around. She saw all the ladies, but she couldn't find Rabab. Where's Rabab? She then saw Rabab walking around Karbala. She said to Rabab, what are you doing? She said, I'm looking for my baby. I want to feed my baby. But do you know what Umar bin Sa'ad did? When Imam al-Hussein took the baby back, Imam al-Hussein buried the baby in the ground. Abu Abdullah made sure before he died, he buried everyone. I ask you, who buried Abu Abdullah? But further than this, he buried the baby in the ground. Would you believe on the night of the 11th of Muharram, Umar bin Sa'ad said, Shimr, where are you? He said, I am here. He said, get your spear. He said, why? He said, dig your spear into the ground and pull out the baby. How hard is it for a mother to see her baby on a spear? Then the narration say to us on the Arba'een, on the 40th of Imam al-Hussein, the narration say to us, Rabab returned back to Karbala. Imam Zain al-Abidin returned back to Karbala. You know what Imam Zain al-Abidin says? He said, I return with the head of my father, Imam al-Hussein. I return to put the head back to the body. He said, when I came near the body of my father, as soon as I came to put the head, I heard a voice from the holy head. The voice said, what did the voice say? Put the baby on my chest. And when you put the baby, put him softly. The heat of the arrow hurts me until today. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless your tears.
This air condition is going to kill me today.